Well, we're in Mark 6. We're going to go look at this a little quick. You're going to have to listen quickly because I'll be speaking quickly. So if we run just 2 or 3 minutes over, it's on you, not on me. You weren't listening fast enough. So we're in Mark chapter 6. I want to pick up in verse 33. And I have this, the bread of life. On this next slide here, we're going to put here. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, only record two miracles that all four of them record. A lot of them record two or three or one. There's some miracles that are in one and not the other three and two. But all four record the feeding of the 5,000 and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So at first glance, when you see that, you might think, well, why is that important? I hope when we leave here in about just about another 12, 13 minutes, you'll kind of see why these are so critical and why God is the inspiration that gave these men to write these books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why are these so critical that we should know all of them? So the feeding of the 5,000, I called it the bread of life. There's a lot of different titles people give this. We're in Mark 6, verse 30. I want to pick up where we left off last week. Jesus had just sent his apostles out. They've been learning from him. All through Mark's gospel so far, they've been called disciples. Jesus sent them out two by two into all the region and said, go and cast out demons and pray with people and heal people. My first experience with this, 20-some years ago, we were in Damascus, Syria, and there was about eight of us, and we got in groups of two by two. We got a card from the hotel we were staying at, and we got in cabs to take us to the other part of the city, and we're going to walk back home. And they had a scavenger hunt. You know, get your name written in Arabic, speak with a police officer, have coffee with a family, have lunch with a family, share with them what Christ is. And that was it. That was, you're getting sent on the other side of Damascus. Here's the hotel, 12 miles away. Find your way back. If you get lost, here's the card, you know, get in the cab. But start heading back here, and good luck. And so, I mean, when I see this, when he sent them out, we read these words, there really is a sending out. And I mentioned last week that this is the first time now they were called apostles. All through Mark's gospel, they were disciples. They were learners. There comes a point in every one of our lives where we come to Christ, we're in the family, we're learning how to behave in the family, we're learning the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth. We're learning from the King of Heaven, not from the powers of this earth. Our minds start transforming, and we start changing until we become servants of Christ. And then we are sent out to share his kingdom with this world. That's exactly the plan of the gospel. You're called to salvation. You're not just called to be saved. You're not called just to wear the helmet of salvation. You're also called to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of truth. Wear the belt of the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Lord, the shield of faith. We have to carry all these things with us in our Christian walk. And a lot of you might be saying, well, I don't know what all that means. That's why we do Bible study. That's why we have Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning, Sunday church, Tuesday women's Bible study, Thursday night women's Bible study. And I would anticipate pretty quickly, I think it'd be nice to have maybe a Friday night men's or a Friday night. I've been talking with a few people about maybe getting a Friday night movie night where we get a big screen projector here and we come in and watch Christian movies and talk and fellowship, and we just become more and more family. And as many of you know, my goal is that this church is the center of this community. Whether people are saved or not, what's going on at the church tonight? What's happening over at the church? What's going on? I believe that we should be the center. Years ago, I had mentioned at Autumn Creek, another church I had pastored, that I said there was a McDonald's across the street. And I said, if that McDonald's closed, would the neighborhood across the street know about it, and would some of them care about it? And I would say they'd probably notice, and yes, some would care. If we close our doors today, does that neighborhood know or would they care? That's, we got to get in our minds how critically important we are as far as to this community for the cause of Christ. And if we can say McDonald's is more valuable to that community than we are, we're doing something wrong. We've got to have a different mentality of how we reach the lost and the hurting. So Jesus, in this passage here, verse 30 of chapter 6, the apostles, first time they're called apostles, gathered around Jesus. What are we doing today? You know who's right here in our midst? Where two or three are gathered together? We are gathering around Jesus right here. We're doing the exact same thing these apostles did 2,000 years ago. We're gathering around Jesus, And as we just had that report today, I asked Trish to do this last week to mention this. And she said she was out of town, tied up with some stuff. How about this week? As I was reading, I thought, what a perfect time they came back and reported what God had done for them. What a perfect timing. It's kind of like God had a plan. Yeah. So they came back to Jesus and they reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught, all that had happened. Then because so many people were coming and going, we don't know the time element that they had been sent out. It could be a week, could have been a year. We don't really know. This between verse 29 and 30, we don't know how long that time was. We know it was long enough, though, that when they returned, all the people in the area, then many people came because many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. It said that the apostles and Jesus were so busy, they couldn't stop to grab a bite of food. There was so much demands on their time. Luckily, that didn't happen to me last Sunday when we had the barbecue. I was able to actually sit and get some barbecue and some cheesecake and that. But in any event, it said they were so busy serving, they didn't even have time to eat. And then Jesus, I am so glad he says this. Jesus tells his apostles, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. That's part of our Christian walk too. You know, on Saturdays, you know, a lot of you know I have a farm in Huntsville. We were up there yesterday doing some work with Kat and my daughter. And I even told her, I said, hey, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, we need to shut down. We've got to be fresh tomorrow. It's the Lord's Day. We can't go in haggard and exhausted. And things happen sometimes. But I plan my week around Sunday morning. Am I on fire on Monday morning or Sunday? My Sundays are much more important to me. I have to have the energy to serve. He says you got to get some rest. And I think that in our physical bodies, you know, I turned 61 last week. And I notice that I need that 8 hours pretty regular now. 9 hours or 12, something like that. So it says, come to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Verse 33 of chapter 6 of Mark. But it says, many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot ahead from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So they got in a boat. They started traveling along. As they were traveling along in a boat, it said many people on shore saw them. They started running. About a 4-mile boat ride is what this would take. And I thought about that these people were so hungry for what the Lord had to say and for Jesus, to be close to Jesus. A 4-mile hike's a pretty decent hike. You know, to be running along and to get there faster than the ship did or the boat they were in. And it says they got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, I absolutely love this part. He had compassion on them. We just read that it said they didn't even have time to eat. This really struck home with me is, do we get sometimes so tired serving that we're like, hey, just get away, back off, leave me alone. What was Jesus' attitude? He looked at them and had compassion on them. I want you to know today, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever heartache, whatever sorrow, whatever pain, whatever financial, medical, health, employment, Jesus has compassion on you. He does see you. He does look at you. He does understand what you're going through, and he has compassion. That word is, I think it's splizidzimai, and it means his insides hurt. When that compassion, not just, I'm sorry you're going through that. It physically affected him. Like you're on a roller coaster where your insides are kind of moving. It's compassion word in Greek means his insides moved. Boy, what a Savior we have. You know how easy it would be to him to say, hey, I've told you what to do. You're not obeying. You're on your own. Good luck. But he had compassion on them. And I say that because it says, Jesus saw them and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them. What's the answer to having compassion on people with the sorrows of this world? The answer is not a psychologist or a pill or medicine. There may be some need for that. The greatest need we have is to hear from the Father. So when he had compassion on them and all their mess, he said they're like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know if you know this, but sheep are pretty stupid. Sheep will starve to death 20 feet away from food because they don't have the energy to think about going over there and eating it. You've got to lead them to food. We read that passage today. Paul read that passage. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to green pastures. If he didn't lead us, we wouldn't know to go. He walks us by the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I was thinking about this week. We all know that passage in Psalm 23. It says, he leads me, and sometimes I'm in the shadow of death. So where does he lead us sometimes? Sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. But that next passage says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because he's with me. So he sometimes, if you're going through it, Trish and others are going through that job search and looking, and maybe some anxieties and maybe some fears. I don't know the future. I don't know the present. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing, how I'm doing. I don't know. If you're following Christ, don't worry. He's with you. He'll have it work out. It always works out when you're with Jesus. And so he says, he has compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And I was thinking in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. That means every one of us in this room, everyone watching at home, everyone watching in the future, all of us are like sheep. Now, what's interesting, Jesus has quite the sense of humor, I guess. But when we know how stupid sheep are, and he says, y'all are sheep, what's he saying? there's something to pin your hat on, too, or your jacket there. But it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. You know, if a sheep goes up to the edge of a cliff, we have some property in San Saba, and the back property line is the Colorado River. We just got back. We were out there checking on our property out there. And we've lost about 10 or 12 feet of our back property line. It's about a 40-foot drop-off to the Colorado River. And we're right on a bend. It's called Shaw Bend. And right on that bend is where that water comes around. That's our property line. And I guess that water just started carving out. And I was out by that tree, and I think it was Kat that said, Dad, back up. And it was kind of a curve. And I saw that tree, and we came back and looked. There was only about 4 foot of dirt there, and it was straight down 40 feet. It had all been carved out. You could see the roots of the tree hanging down. And I thought, as people, we jump back. You know what a sheep would have done? It would have jumped right over. And when that sheep jumped over, five more would have followed it. I mean, sheep are really, really dumb. Now, I'll tell you something, and I mentioned this months ago, how the Lord has really shown me who I am. I was at the Litani River in 06 in Lebanon with the war was going on over there. And there was the Great Litani that's not even from me to Don, is about half that distance, the Great Litani. Well, I guess when you're in Lebanon, that's a big body of water. Here it's not. The Great Litani. But there was some shepherds came, and we were talking and visiting and under a tree, and their sheep were eating. And at the end of the day, the shepherds made a noise, and there must have been 500 or 600 sheep down there. And they were leading them to the still waters. If water's moving, sheep are afraid of moving water. So you want to lead sheep by the still water. Moving water, they get afraid of and run away from it. So you got to lead them to still water. They took them down to the grass to eat. We were down there. They were eating the grass. And we were having some, chicken shawarma. And at the end of the day, they said, we're splitting up. And one guy went over here and yelled something. And one went there. And their sheep started to look like an anthill, where all the sheep started pushing and shoving against one another. And they all went to their shepherd. And I said, do you guys need to count them or do you mark them? And they said, no, not at all. You know what these Muslim men told me? Shia Muslim. We're in southern Lebanon, a big Shia community there. They said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And they follow me. Another voice they won't follow. I wish I had the sense of a sheep. Because you know what sometimes we do? We hear Jesus call us and we hear another voice call us. And there are times we go to the other voice. So as much as we've said how stupid sheep are, you know sheep will not follow another voice. We will. It should really challenge us in our growth and our walk with the Christ where we are on that sanctification spectrum. I wish that we had the sense of sheep. So he says, he began teaching them many things. Verse 39, by this time it was late in the day. So the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote or deserted place, they said, and it's already very late. You know one of the most common things the disciples said? You remember when the widow came? Get away. Jesus is busy. Other people would come to Jesus in the Gospels. The disciples, one of their most common things when they were pressed and people came to Jesus, one of the most common things the disciples said, and I would challenge you to study this, send them away. We're with you, Jesus. We're learning. I'm too busy learning. I want to be with you. These people are causing trouble. Jesus, send them away. I hope we never, ever, ever have that attitude. Unfortunately, as humans, sometimes we may be exhausted and tired and done and need that break. But I would encourage you, when after you've done all to stand, stand. Keep moving. Keep going forward. So anyway, it just really kind of, again, tells me these disciples. Notice now in verse 30, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him. Verse 35, by this time it was late, so the disciples, they kind of got moved back down the scale. They were apostles a moment ago, now they're disciples. By this time it was late in the day, so disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a remote place and it's already late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Let them take care of themselves. You've got the words of life, and they're hungry, though. They want some bread made by people. And instead of learning from you, we're going to send them away, and they can go get some food and just some bread. You know, it's interesting. In Arabic, lahem means meat. In Hebrew, it means bread. And beit is house. Guess where Jesus was born? You want to say Bethlehem. Let me say it this way, and you'll remember this forever. Beit Chlehem. Jesus was born in the house of bread. We put the T and the H together. They didn't. So when he's born in the house of bread, and he says, I am the true bread. I'm the bread of heaven that has come down from your father. Not like the manna that your forefathers ate with Moses in the wilderness. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, and I am that true bread. That's what's going. That's why I believe these two are the miracles recorded. The resurrection and the feeding of the 5,000, don't get caught up in the miracle of the bread. Get caught up in the miracle. There was a time that Jesus took his own life and said, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. And we're going to look at that in just a minute here too. So we've all like sheep gone astray. In our next passage in Numbers, Moses was out in the wilderness and it said, may God appoint a man over these people so they won't be like sheep without a shepherd. People without leadership, people without divine vision. There's a verse in the Bible, you've probably heard it quoted, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision is not really translated the best in English with the word vision. It's where there is no divine revelation, the people perish. It's not just vision like we think this way. It's where there's no word from God, where there's no divine revelation, the people perish. You know why our country is such a mess today? We have no one leading under godly principles. Our government, our leadership is not run in godly manners. We see some of the stuff we see today. When I was, I've got my 26 and 22-year-old daughters here today. She identifies as 26, but she gave me a thumbs up. My daughter here today, and I said, when I was their age, I look back, where was this world when I was 20, in my 20s? It was a completely different world. And that's why it's so critical when we bring these kids up here every Sunday, we pray over them. They're growing up in a world radically different from the world we grew up in. I was talking to someone, I was in a prison unit the other day, and a younger man, I said, I would encourage you to study apologetics, have answers for the questions the world has. I grew up in a world when you said, the Bible said, people listened. Well, if the Bible said it, that's guess what, folks, that's not the world today. You say the Bible, oh, I don't need that fairy tale book. I don't believe it. And I know who you are. If you believe the Bible, I know exactly who you are now. The world does no longer accept us as God's authoritative word. We've got to speak the truth in love. We've got to show this world divine revelation. As Jesus taught and he sent his disciples out to teach, he sends us out today to teach this kingdom, the kingdom of this world, about the kingdom of heaven and how it operates and how it runs. And the way they get into that kingdom is through Jesus Christ. He is the door. So by this time it was late in the day. The disciples said, send them away so they can go to the villages around and provide for themselves. But Jesus answered them, you give them something to eat. That's a challenge we have, church. Jesus is telling us today, the fellowship here at the Woodlands Bible Church, you feed this community. You feed this community my words. That's where we have to get. I've said this before and I'll say it again. My goal, I don't know if we'll ever reach it. My goal is this building's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there's prayer and there's fellowship and there's discipleship and there's helping the needy and helping the hurting and helping those that are lost come to Jesus Christ. I don't know if we'll get there, but that's the goal. So he says, you give them something to eat. Now remember, they just came back. They had just gotten back from their going out on mission. They just returned casting out demons. They just returned healing the lame. They just returned giving sight to the blind. Jesus says, let's give them something to eat. Wouldn't you think, well, we're right here with Jesus. Jesus can do whatever he wants. You give them something to eat, and instead of saying, sure, Jesus, how do we do that? They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Your translation might say 200 denarii. A denarii was one day's wages, so about two-thirds of a year. So if you think today's economy, $60,000 maybe for a year's salary, or that, I know that fluctuates. You're probably talking $30,000 to $50,000 of money. They said to feed this 5,000 people, Matthew's gospel, Matthew, I think, 6, has the same story. There was 5,000 men and women and children. So we know there was at least 5,000 men plus women and children. There could well be 12, 15, 20,000 people here. That's a pretty big crowd. And Jesus looks at his 12 and says, feed them. You know, I think that May I had, I think, was it 8 briskets? We almost ran out. So July 4th, I think we did 178 pounds of brisket. That's a lot of brisket. But that was a pretty big undertaking, feeding, some of you. I won't mention names, Paul, or anybody. But to look at 20,000 people and have Jesus say, feed them, I could see their incredulity, you know, or their bewilderment, or them saying, well, how? Folks, God is asking this church, maybe I should say he's commanding this church, to feed this community. And our answer needs to be, yes, Jesus, we will obey you. Show us the way. With your power, we will do it. Show us the way. So he says, give them something to eat. He said, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? And Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they found out, they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, these are probably like these little, maybe these little biscuits like you might get at Red Lobster or Texas Roadhouse, or you don't think of like a loaf of bread like Wonder Bread. It's probably a little sack lunch for a boy. He had two little sardines and 5 little pieces of bread, maybe biscuits or something we'd call them, but, you know, baked like that. And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. Remember what we read a little bit ago in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, he causes me to lay down in green pastures. What's he doing here? He's telling the people, sit down in the green pasture. There's grass there. Sit down in the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he took it up to heaven. He gave thanks. He blessed it, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. Now we read that, and we look at what he did there. Folks, don't get caught up in all this nonsense that I was reading a study on this, and it said that there was like a cave, and Jesus had sent a bunch of food and fish and bread ahead, hid in the cave, and he came out with his big flowing robes that were kind of loose, and the disciples were sneaking food up to him. And they're trying to explain how this could happen and how people could believe this. It happened because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He can do whatever he wants. He is sovereign. We are not. Whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He needs no human explanation to describe how he does things. Don't let your mind go down that road. There's nothing but satanic, demonic nonsense down that road. I always tell people, if you'll accept the first 4 words in English, 5 words in Hebrew of the New Testament, in the beginning, God created. If you believe that, in the beginning, God. If you'll believe that, everything else in the book makes sense. If you struggle with that part, nothing in the book will make sense. You'll try to have all these ideas of how the sea was parted, and there was a good big wind, and the winds pushed the water. No, God said it happened. I said this a week or two ago. Remember that bumper sticker, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Get your marker out, scratch out the part about you believing it. God said it, that settles it. End of discussion. Our thoughts don't have any bearing on God. We are to learn from him. Here's what Jesus said. All you that are weary and heavy laden, Come to me, I'll give you rest, for my burden is light, and learn from me. I'm lowly, I'm humble. He's telling us, learn from him his ways, his kingdom. So he goes to the disciples, feed them. We can't. If we'll bring to Jesus what we have, you heard in our offering today, I said, Lord, bless these small gifts. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. If we'll come with whatever we have, our quarters, our nickels, our dimes, our dollars, if you come with the right heart attitude, people say, well, Pastor, I got to give 10%. No, you can give 0% if you want. Look outside when the sun goes down tonight. Look at the stars of heaven. Guess who did that without you? I mean, it's just that simple. He allows us to contribute into his kingdom. He doesn't need us. I think years ago, I can't remember, it was Stacy somebody used to play with the Bulls. One night, Michael Jordan, I think, had like 68 points, and he had two. And he was quoted, he said, yeah, me and Michael combined for 70 points last night. Yeah, I think Michael Jordan had 68 and he had two. He goes, yeah, the two of us. Who would have thought that me and Michael would combine for 70 points in a basketball game? Who would have thought that God and us would do what this church does with our community, with our giving, with our helping those in need? You know, we sent a team to North Carolina back at the hurricane months ago. We sent a team out to West Texas this last week. And you say, well, how can we guys do that? It's because the Lord's blessed us. You know, we're still running in the red a little bit financially. We're not making our bills yet. But we are limping along, getting closer. And you say, well, if you're running in the red, how do you do that? Because God's told us to. I felt a very strong need in our church. Obviously, if you're here last week, you saw the stuff that came in last week, all the diapers and formula. And we took Bibles with us, and we took drinks and what else? Canned goods and foods and peanut butters and just endless things that were brought in last week till we were going to go in a truck, and we ended up having to bring two trucks. And the beds were filled, the back seats were filled. We were filled to the brim with stuff. And it was, I think, just a day or two of, hey, we got a team going, bring stuff in. And just like that quick, more it was almost to the point of we're going to have to bring three trucks or a trailer. And you say, well, how could we do that? Folks, it wasn't us. I'm convinced God saw our willingness to serve, and God said, I will multiply your little monies for my kingdom. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. That's for him, not us. It's for his glory. Bring what we have, and he will multiply and bless what we bring. We are weak, but he is strong. Remember that song? Jesus loves the little children. I knew that our New Psalms people would. All the children of the world, yeah. We are weak, but he is strong. I think of that so often. We can do nothing without him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. With him, we can do everything. Have faith, only believe. This is a part here. I just want you to look at that side by side. In Mark 14, this is where Jesus was doing the communion with the disciples on the last night. And look at the similarities in the verbs and exactly the order. That's why I think this passage is so critical, why it's in all four Gospels. It's foreshadowing the broken body of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Jesus took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread to the disciples. That's exactly the order of our passage today with the Lord's Supper. And then I did want to put here that as Jesus tells us to go and to serve and to be the hands and feet, these are some of the pictures. That picture on, I guess it's on your left, the green, with the green carpet, that's a room full of diapers and baby formula and baby food and women's products and single moms, all the stuff they would need with babies. It was a big giant room we loaded. There's a cat there. Is that Martha was her name? And we prayed with Martha. She runs a, actually on the left-hand side, that was, I think, at the church, First Baptist San Saba. That's First Baptist San Saba. On the right picture, with me and my daughter and Martha, that's at the women's clinic that we went to. And we prayed, and they said the diapers are always needed. They never have enough. And with the flooding, they said, our demands are beyond we can do. And then this picture, that was at First Baptist San Saba. That's the red brick building there. And then that was, we went to the police and fire stations and distributed drinks and food supplies to them because they were getting pretty hit as well. I just put those pictures up there to show you kind of the gifts you gave, where they went. And we went out to, I think, Lampasas. We stopped in Lampasas, then we went to San Saba, then we came south through Llano, Marble Falls area. We kind of made a big loop out in West Texas this week and had chainsaws with us. If chainsaw duties came up, And I'm just letting you know that's where it went. So I want you guys to see, I want to report back to you like the disciples did, that your gifts were used. And we want to thank you very much for God. Praise God. And folks, we do this for the glory of Jesus Christ. Not for the Woodlands Bible Church, not for us. It's for the glory of God. Everything we do needs to be for His glory. And so I would ask you to keep thinking about as the Lord leads you and grows. I went back in our kids department a little bit earlier when the song singing was going on. We've got about 8 or 9 of the this size kids with some teachers in there. I think we've got probably 5 or 6 of this size kids back there with some teachers. And I mentioned months ago, the Lord's growing that group. Some of you here today might say, I wouldn't call to teach those kids. Maybe you were. Or maybe, you know, you take this month, have someone else take the next month or every other Sunday. Because I know some of the people back there like to be out here too. But they stood up and said, I'll go back there. I'll miss out church. I'll miss out on the feeding so I can serve. But it's good to have enough, big enough group that we can kind of rotate through people and kind of work through that. So be thinking. Maybe the Lord's called you to teach at some level or to have a Sunday school class, even on Sunday mornings. You know, in our Sunday school class today, when I started, we had about, 8 months ago, we had about 30-ish. Today we had, I write it down every Sunday, today we had 56 in there. And that class, usually they say around 30 split. So, I mean, we need teachers for Sunday school. We've got other rooms here. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but we're trying to get done too. But I'm throwing a lot at you. But think, is Lord, are you calling me to step up and start speaking? Are you calling me to lead? You can't give what you don't have. So if you say, well, I'm not prepared, then prepare yourself. I love that passage in Ezra. It says, God called Ezra to be his spokesperson or to go speak for him. And it said, Ezra prepared himself. He started studying the word. He started knowing what was in it, because to give it, you have to have it. So folks, we got to take this seriously. This can't just be a Sunday morning slice of our life. This has to be our 168 hours a week of our life. We have to be, above all things, let people know that we are Christians. So I know I was kind of quick today, but we're trying to get through things, and I wanted to get that passage out there today and give you an update on that. So if you have questions, my number is easily available. I think it's in the bulletin. If not, it's easy to remember, 281-460. I'm staring at you, 4900. It's easy to remember, 281-460-4900 is on my business cards. Call me this week if you have questions. If you want to meet for a coffee here or somewhere at a restaurant, I like restaurants too. I think that shows. We can meet there. But in any event, I would ask you to really, this week, challenge yourself and ask the Lord in your prayer time, Lord, are you asking me to step up in a next level in your kingdom? Or are you asking me to study more? Do I need to learn more? Where am I on this process, Lord? What would you have me do? Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many, many blessings. So many blessings we can't even see all of them, Father. You are a good Father, and we praise your name. Father, we thank you for the new Psalms here today as they sang for us and just brought us into a worship time of mood and ministry that they provided for us today. Father, we thank you for giving them these talents and these voices and the instruments that can lead us and just help us as we walk into fellowship with thanksgiving and with joy in our hearts as we worship you. Father, be with us as we leave this week. Give us safety and wisdom to live this week in Christ-like manner that we'd be, again, glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to have divine opportunities that we might meet with people to share Christ with them and that someone might come to know you as their Savior this week through our efforts. Father, we ask for those divine appointments. Help us to be like you with compassion versus like we are, send them away. I'm busy. Father, help us to slow down in our lives. Help us to look at what's important and to build up treasures in heaven where moth does not eat and rust doesn't take over and the thief doesn't steal, but to build up eternal rewards in your kingdom. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.